Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
Good afternoon, Coos County. Welcome to the Jim Bice Show. It's a gorgeous day here in the Bay Area. This past week of Indian summer, I think, has gotten us all a little bit spoiled. And according to the weather reports, which you can believe just about as much as you can the politicians, we're supposed to have this at least through next weekend. So if you got stuff to do outside, now's the time to do it. It may be the last chance.
You know, maybe that's the problem. They have the weatherman doing the polling for the politicians. Then that's the problem because, you know, in Oregon, you know, it's always rainy weather. So you just throw that out there and you're going to get lucky at least, what, 70% of the time?
Yeah, well, you know, well, I've contended for years that the position of media weather person, basic training for politicians because it teaches them to lie effectively.
Right. Well, so, you know, and I've noticed on the Fox News, the local Fox News channel, they have some incredibly good-looking news anchors and weather people on there. I don't know where they're getting these. It's like they're pulling models out. I don't even know what the weather is, but it's like sunshine, you know? So,
well, Rob. All you just did, you just admitted that you're a dirty old man.
I would have admitted that anyway.
Okay. You know, something occurred to me the other day while I was digging through news stories. It finally dawned on me, I really, really don't like liberals.
No.
Going through this stuff, it amazed me. And when I came to that realization, it kind of took me back a little bit because I really don't dislike anybody per se, and I certainly don't hate anybody, contrary to some of the people's opinions. But I couldn't get past it. I really don't like liberals. I don't like their crude language. I don't like their rude behavior or their attempted physical intimidation. I don't like them interrupting somebody's lunch or dinner like they're doing back in D.C. and all across the country.
You know, that's just rude.
It is. And I don't like them shouting down a speaker that I might want to hear, or I especially don't like their lies to smear people they disagree with, and they're really good at that. The liberals have this smear machine all set up and ready to go. All they got to do is name a target, and then like a bunch of zombies, all of their idiot followers go out and hold demonstrations. I don't like them pretending to be so highly offended when somebody says a word that they don't approve of. I mean, my God, they've changed the language so much that who in the hell knows what's offensive to them anymore?
Right.
You know, normal conversation is now offensive to liberals. I don't like them murdering babies and calling it reproductive health. Since when did pregnancy become a disease?
They found a cure for that, you know.
Yeah, it's called an aspirin held between your knees. I don't like their vindictiveness. I don't like their gathering at the homes of political adversaries and making people miserable. And I don't like their faking their hate crimes and race crimes. You know, everything now is predicated on hate and race. And I didn't realize it, but I just found out last week, STEM education.
Whoa, STEM education.
STEM.
Okay.
I forget what it stands for. It has to do, I know the last thing is math, engineering. I don't remember what the S or T is, but it's your basic educational goal in just about all schools now. But some college professor determined that that is racist. I read the article. I tried to understand the logic, and for the life of me, I couldn't figure it out. But now education is racist, according to these people.
You remember when they came out with Ebonics and tried to explain that? You know, our urban black people can't speak English normally, and so therefore this Ebonics was created to explain the bad English that was being spoken, which is a bunch of BS, because anyone can be taught to speak properly. I mean, anyone who saw My Fair Lady knows this.
I remember that argument, and the problem that immediately occurred to me when they started making the argument for Ebonics is, well, then you're telling black people that they're just too damn stupid to speak English, so we're going to create a special language so that they can't compete in the marketplace for jobs.
And that's, well, they don't need to have jobs because they're too stupid to have jobs, according to, you know, the socialists, because, you know, you need government to help them. So then, therefore, just like the language, we don't have to have them, you know, we have to give them jobs because they can't work, because they, you know, it's not in their culture to work at a 9-to-5 desk job. Once again, which is insulting to the very people they claim they're trying to protect, you know, because I know plenty of people who work just fine.
Yeah.
In the world. So,
yeah. Some of the other things I don't like, that the liberals are paying hoodlums and gangs and other political activists to riot, intimidate people, and destroy private property. I think everybody by now knows what happened up in Portland last week. And is that appropriate behavior? I mean, some old guy and his wife were driving through, and they did $3,000 worth of damage to his vehicle.
Now, to me, it seems like George Soros, if you can connect the money straight to him, you should be able to sue him for the damage that was directly caused to these folks' cars. You know, that seems to me.
Oh, Bill just saved my bacon. He gave me what STEM stands for.
Okay.
S is for science, T is for technology, E is for engineering, and M is for mathematics. That's the core of teaching in a public school.
That sounds like a good school. Where's this school? I've been hiding this from us.
The problem is they talk about it, but they don't actually teach it. But, you know, I don't like assaults on American institutions and American history. I don't like their violence, their ceaseless vilification of decent Americans. Their policing of speech. I mean, they've changed the speech so much that you can't say anything anymore but what somebody's offended. Or their attempts to intimidate anybody with whom they disagree.
Yeah.
You know, they don't try to make the case to support their position. What they do is they attack the messenger. And I know this firsthand because I have been under attack for the last 30 years. For telling the truth. Yeah, I guess you're not allowed to do that.
Well, Jim, and could you imagine if you were a freshman in college and you were a conservative? Say you were a conservative in Berkeley. I know it's a rare creature. But you're a conservative in Berkeley. You're sitting in class and, you know, the teacher says something completely extreme and you would like to challenge it. How many of those challenges go unchallenged? And how much of those conversations are not happening because those kids are so terrified and so put into their place that they can no longer speak freely anymore in what's supposed to be a critical education.
Exactly. You know, education was supposed to be the open discussion of ideas.
Right.
But now, the only ideas you can discuss are the ones that are approved by liberals. If it's not a liberal idea, well, you're not allowed to discuss it. And if you even bring it up, you're a horrible person.
You know, and I can go back to my one of my social studies classes where we were taught existentialism. Okay. Now, here's what ticked me off is I wanted the teacher to teach objectivism alongside her teachings of existentialism. You know, if you're going to teach one, teach the other.
Teach both sides.
You know, and of course, at the time, as a young man, I was reading the book, one of my favorite books, The Virtues of The Virtues of Selfishness by Ayn Rand. And, you know, that's why I wanted the teacher to go into this, because, you know, existentialism is basically the emotional defense of socialism. So, you know, I always had a hard time with that in the classrooms. But at least then I could challenge it. Now you couldn't even challenge that in a school today.
No. You know, some of the other things that really irk me about liberals, I dislike their demands for mob rule, their approval of criminals, their vilification of police and law enforcement, and their disdain for normal people. You know, and this we see this every day on TV. All you got to do is turn on the news, and this is everywhere you look. I could go on and on about the things I sincerely, totally, and completely, and without any mental reservation at all, dislike about liberals, but I think most people get the point by now. Actually, it could all be summed up as I don't like adults acting like babies with dirty diapers, because that's basically what it comes down to, sniveling and whining and not a single fact to support their positions. But the question you got to ask, and I started thinking about this, you know, when I finally realized that, okay, there's some people out there that I really don't like, I started asking myself, okay, why? You know, if you run across something that you believe or that you even feel, which I try to stay away from,
but right.
First thing you got to ask is, okay, why do I believe this? Is it founded on fact, or is it just a personal foible? So why are liberals so intent on fundamentally changing America by whatever means possible? And the answer, it turns out, is actually kind of simple. It's education, or lack thereof. Only 10% of Americans 45 and younger could pass a multiple choice U.S. citizenship test. This is according to a survey that was released last Wednesday, and I read the whole survey. The survey was commissioned by the Woodrow Wilson National Fellowship Foundation, and it was actually conducted by Lincoln Park Strategies. They're a research organization. It's a think tank.
Right.
They found that only 1 in 3 Americans had what it took to pass a citizenship test, with many Americans struggling to name the original 13 colonies or what caused the Cold War.
And hopefully those people were deported, right?
Yeah, I hope. In an actual U.S. citizenship test takers have to get 60% of the questions right in order to pass and gain their citizenship.
Well, that's a D, so that's not too bad.
Yeah, 60%. It used to be 85%, and I think it was under Bill Clinton that they lowered the standard.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, of course. But only 36% of the people surveyed in this survey got a score of 60 or higher. So roughly a third of the people passed and two-thirds didn't. And the passage rate among younger Americans, age 45 and younger, was even worse. Just 19% of Americans in this age bracket were able to pass the citizenship test. That's 1 out of 5.
Yeah, it's an idiotocracy.
What in the hell are our schools teaching?
I don't know.
Now, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go through this, but I need to take a break here because I don't want to break the train of thought as I go through this. I've got some of the questions that were on the test that people couldn't get. But we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, I'll go through those questions. And you can ask yourself, as I'm asking the questions, shouldn't everybody know this?
Uh-oh. Is there a test coming up?
There's a test. I'm going to test you, Rob. Anyway, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, Danny here at Far West Tire and Auto. Do you feel like you're constantly on the go? From daily commuting, dance recitals, and weekend adventures? I'm sure your tires have never let you down, but that much time on the road can cause some wear and tear on your tires. It might be time to consider upgrading to Nokians. With the 50,000-mile warranty on select Nokians, you can hit the road in style. So stop on by Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
The RV business is booming at the Boomin' Y, and Gibbs RV is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Gibbs RV makes it so simple. They will come to your location, give you a fair appraisal, and help take care of all the paperwork. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let the professionals at Gibbs RV take the hassle out of selling or consigning your RV. Stop by and see them today at 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay by the Big Boomin' Y in Empire, or check them out at GibbsRV.com.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. As promised, I'm going to go through just a few of these questions. There were quite a few of them. So I picked out the ones that I thought people should know about. I mean, this is stuff that I learned in grade school. So hopefully most of you listening out there will know the answers. But here's some of the questions. 72% of the respondents did not know which states were part of the 13 original colonies. Can you believe that? 72%. 60% of the people didn't know which countries the U.S. fought in World War II. Really? I mean, this is scary. Only 24%, one in four, could name one thing that Benjamin Franklin was famous for, while 37% thought that he invented the light bulb.
Well, no, you know what he invented? He invented the lightning rod, which saved hundreds of thousands of lives, and probably millions because of what he did. Yeah.
But Ben Franklin did a lot of stuff.
Oh,
everybody
he did.
Should know.
Yes.
12% of the respondents thought that World War II General Dwight Eisenhower led troops in the Civil War. Now, he wasn't quite that old, I don't think.
He wouldn't have appreciated that.
And 6% of them thought he was a general during the Vietnam War. Yeah.
He was president, and then he went back into action. That's what a heck of a guy he was.
Yeah. And the numbers aren't very big, but I picked this question out because it was so utterly ridiculous. 2% of the people that they questioned thought that the Cold War was caused by climate change.
That one I can buy. That one they could. And it was solved by sustainability. You know, that's how it cured it.
Well, I had to include that in my list because it was just so utterly ridiculous. And despite the round-the-clock media coverage surrounding Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, 57%, well over half of the people questioned, didn't even know how many justices serve on the U.S. Supreme Court.
And there's nine, correct?
Absolutely, nine.
All right. You know, it started out with what we had three originally.
Right.
So, okay. And only one made the decision, right, if I remember correctly, and that was Thurgood Marshall. Thurgood Marshall, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the foundation conducted a survey to show how American voters need to be educated on civics before they head to the polls to vote in the November elections. Good luck on that. But with voters heading to the polls next month, an informed and engaged citizenry is essential. You know, even Ben Franklin said that. This Constitution will only work for a moral and informed populace. And we don't have that anymore, folks. This study found that the average American is woefully uninformed regarding America's history and incapable of passing the U.S. citizenship test. Two-thirds. That's scary. Now, these findings aren't merely an embarrassment for the educational standards in this country. Knowledge of the history of our country is fundamental to maintaining a constitutional republic, which is now in danger of being overthrown by a bunch of ignoramuses that don't even know what they're asking for. I mean, look at these demonstrators. One of the things I do during my research, and I know some of you out there probably do the same thing, you can get online, and there's all kinds of videos where either real journalists or citizen journalists go out to these demonstrations and they ask questions of the demonstrators. These people are pathetically ignorant of virtually everything. The only thing they can cite is the talking points they've been given. Of course, most of these demonstrators are paid agitators anyway, so you don't expect them to know much.
And I think a good portion of them are the insane homeless people that are wandering Portland. They have nowhere else better to be, so they go to the demonstration
because
they know they'll get free water or something.
And they get paid for showing up.
And they get paid for showing up.
Yeah.
So that's what you want, the most craziest person on drugs there to protest and get agitated.
And that's what we've got.
And that's what we got.
You know, now this is the fault of our corrupt educational establishment that constantly demands more and more of your money, yet continues to produce graduates that don't even know the basic fundamentals of how our country was founded. This is what we've got, folks. And every Democrat candidate in every state is out there whining, oh, we need more money for education. Well, money isn't going to do it. Maybe we should start actually teaching these young people some empirical knowledge for a change. But you never hear that brought up, do you? Ever. Oh, we don't talk about what we should be teaching that we're not teaching. We only talk about, well, these poor, underfunded schools that get well over $10,000 per student per year can't seem to teach little Johnny to read and write, and they sure as hell can't teach him to look in his pants and figure out if he's a boy or a girl.
And what was that acronym we started out with? STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math?
And math, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It doesn't sound like it would take a lot of money to teach just those four basic things if they could just get that right.
Well, you know, I'm an old guy, so I remember the way things used to be. In fact, you did a show on it.
Yeah.
It used to be in school that we were taught that America is exceptional. And then we were taught why America is exceptional is due predominantly to our Constitution. We learned about the difficulty that our forefathers had in establishing this country. And it was a close thing, folks. We almost didn't win. A bunch of ragtag colonialists went up against the most powerful army in the entire world, and we beat them.
Twice,
yeah. We beat them. We kicked their butts back to their crappy little island that they came from to begin with. And we don't teach that anymore. We teach this moral relativism. We teach things that are just patently untrue. You know, And it keeps popping into my mind, Katie Eyman, when she was on the show here a few weeks ago, when we were talking about the economy, she said that, well, this economy is due to Barack Obama's policies.
Right.
Well, I got to thinking about that. You know, she's partially right. The economy is due to Obama's policies because Trump came in, he cut our taxes, and he eliminated over $1 trillion worth of regulations. That was Obama's policies, and the fact that Trump got rid of them is why we've got a roaring economy
raging
at the moment.
Economy. It's been great.
So, to some degree, yeah. Now we have the difference between black and white for everybody to see. Oh, I'm sorry. That was probably a racist comment.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to get in trouble for that.
I know.
You shouldn't call a spade a spade. Oh, there I go
There you go again. Damn. You know, it's getting difficult to talk anymore without offending some liberal twit.
Well, you know, I'm just a gay person who's, you know, light-footed and, you know, how that goes, you know. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I just said some horrible stuff about myself. You know, it's funny. I watch those movies, those old movies on the movie channel.
Yeah.
And it's some of the things and the languages they use, if you used them today, you would just, you know what I mean? And gay was one of them. And I forget the name of the movie where they were talking about happy and gay. And I was thinking, wow, if you were in San Francisco, that'd mean a whole new thing. Some guy would be asking you to dance. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that have changed. And, you know, it's my grandmother used to call had a name for black people that you can't use now, you know, it's in trouble. And then it went from that to blacks, and now it's African Americans and stuff. And so
you don't know what to say. Yeah, you don't know from day to day. They keep moving the bar. And you know, it's funny. My wife and I were just having a similar conversation this weekend. I like to watch old movies.
Right.
For a couple of reasons. Number one, the movies have real plots. It makes you think to keep ahead of the movie and figure out what's going on.
Well, yeah, watch North by Northwest. Yeah. Compare it to today's movies. Yeah. Right.
But my wife made an interesting comment. She said, you know what? Most of these movies they couldn't make today. There'd be demonstrations outside the sets. Oh, you can't use that language. Or, oh, your subject material is just horrible because it does not meet our liberal criteria.
Well, you know, when they're tearing down all those Confederate statues, one of the greatest movies ever made was Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yeah.
And so I guess from that, we should go ahead and tear up the whole entire reel that was made from.
Well, there's actually a movement out there. You know, they've managed... They've gotten most of the Mark Twain books removed from school libraries.
Which is a shame. He's one of my favorites.
He was one of the greatest American authors, in my opinion. And now there's a movement to banish Gone with the Wind. Because it is just so racist.
You know, Mark Twain wrote the War Prayer. Yeah. I don't know if anyone's ever read that, but it was written after the Spanish War. And I think if anyone out there who you want to get rid of, Twain's books because they have the N-word in it, which is ridiculous because he was trying to point out the fallacy of how people were wrong to treat one group of people different from another group of people just based on
their
skin.
And that was common language usage at the time.
And how could you go back to a period novel like that and not use that language?
Well, you can't. You can't. And that's the thing. That's why they don't teach history.
Right.
It's all intentional because if the schools taught history, liberalism couldn't survive. Because then our young people would know the truth about things rather than this crap that they've been pumped full of with socialist teachers and communist professors.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to ruin a kid, send him to public school.
Right.
And we got to take a break here. We're running overtime as normal. But... let's give something away. This is from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. They're located in Coos Bay, North Bend. There's one in Wally World and one in Reedsport. And he's authorized me to give away some goodies in appreciation for everybody going to his restaurants. So what I have in my hot little hand is I have a certificate for one free small McCafe beverage. Another one for one free lunch or dinner sandwich of your choice. Another one for one free dessert of your choice. Today's a good day for cold desserts, by the way. And another one for one free breakfast sandwich of your choice, as well as a sheet full of coupons that are on various products. It's basically, you know, buy one, get one free. And I'm going to give all this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124, be caller number 3, and you can win all these wonderful goodies from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. And we'll be right back.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. What's one of the first things that needs replacing on your car? the windshield wiper blades, and not usually from wear, but from deterioration because of the elements and the environment. Sun, even chemicals in the air and water can deteriorate wiper blades. Now is the time to replace streaking, chattering wiper blades. It's important to see clearly when it is wet out to keep you and your family safe and avoid accidents.
Go to Tom's Bulldog Automotive to have your wiper blades replaced today. They'll make sure your car is in tip-top shape for the winter. Call Tom's Bulldog Automotive today at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I'm going to kind of turn the show over to Rob here for a little while. We have a special guest in the studio, Max Hand from Bandon. And Rob and Max are going to talk a little bit about this Bandon pool thing. So go for it.
You know, it's funny how... And I've said this before that the people of Bandon back in 2012 voted against a pool, which really isn't completely correct. What they did is they voted against the creation of a recreational pool district. So they didn't want to create a new taxing district. It was about the size of the school district, which is twice the size of the city.
Right.
And they had to get all the people who were inside that district, which, like I said, is the size of the school, to vote on this. So it was quite a bit of people who voted on this, and they voted against having the pool recreation district created. So they didn't technically vote against a pool, but yet when people vote, they vote in that mindset.
Right.
I mean, when I voted against the pool. And so some guy was trying to give me grief because I kept saying that people were voting against the pool. And he said, no, they're voting against the recreation district. And I keep thinking, well, that's just technicalities. You know,
yeah, it's one and the same.
Yeah, it's six of one, half a dozen of another. Now, my position on the pool has always been and will always be, I'm against the government being in the pool business.
Right.
And especially the city of Bandon. We ain't in the pool business. And so they shouldn't be, you know, discussing the pool. They shouldn't be selling. They've done feasibility studies on putting this in the park. And this is even after the vote, Jim. So,
yeah, they never slowed down. It's so typical. The people say one thing and the yep. politicians just totally ignore the people. And I think people are starting to get tired of that. And remember, folks, these people work for you. You don't work for them.
Absolutely.
They should start paying attention to what you want, and to hell with what they want unless you agree. And I'll tell you what, November 6th, you've got a chance now. The ones that don't pay attention, get rid of them because you're their boss.
Right. And so we voted down that taxing district in 2012, and I went to the city council either the meeting after or a couple of meetings after, and I asked them to take it out of the urban renewal plan. And the reason I asked them to take it out of the urban renewal plan and especially the parks plan is that anytime that they leave the mention of the pool in these plans that are official documents
right.
that have been sanctioned by a vote, then there's always a back door that the pool committee could come in and try to get the city to fund this pool. And so I asked them to pull the wording out of all these documents, and they refused. And part of the wording in the urban renewal plan was they were setting aside $500,000 for this pool. Isn't that nice? You know, like Bandon, it's only 3,300 people.
Yeah.
Like, we've got $500,000 sitting around for things. And so one of the things I asked them to do was to take this completely out of the urban renewal. They didn't. They didn't do it back then. And the city at the time could have made this instead of, because as it is right now, the city can still, through a unilateral vote of the council, decide to take the pool responsibility and pay for that pool through a vote of the council. However, with what they have on the ballot coming out in this November, it's ballot measure 6172. If the people vote for it, and this is one of those, a yes vote means no, and they're good at this, but if they vote yes for it, what this does is it takes the pool, the mention of the pool, out of the city documents, and it says that the pool, they will restrict. Now, it doesn't say deny. It doesn't
right.
say that it will refuse. It says restrict, which, you know, there's a lot of interpretation for that. But if you vote yes on measure 6172, it will restrict the funding that the city will designate for it, and it will put it up to voter authority. Now, back in 2012, the city council could have done that by a vote of the council itself,
right.
and they should have done that and respected the vote of the people instead of having to go through this again.
Kind of like the county commissioners refusing to put Second Amendment ordinance on the ballot.
Yeah, or even worse, like the county refusing to put that urban renewal vote on the ballot
right.
that we had to do. So, you know, I've been someone who's been opposed to the public pools because I don't think the government should provide it. And if someone wants to come in and pay for a private pool and do it through their own means, and as long as there's no resources, no funding, nothing coming from the city, I'm all for it because it's something that I believe is the right of commerce.
Well,
and so
here's the other thing that occurs to me. Not only do you have to build the pool, you got to maintain it.
You got to maintain that.
Who's going to come up with the money for years and years and years?
Nobody.
To maintain it.
Nobody.
I'll tell you what. Let's take our final break of this hour, and when we come back, I'll let you and Max discuss this. How's
you got
that?
It.
So we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, "Man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on?" He said, "I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry because your car is what we're all about. We do it all."
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Hey everyone, this is Rob from Basin Tackle, and we want to invite you to tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for our Basin Tackle Outdoor Show. It's going to be an hour of fun, frivolity, and of course, fishing. We're also going to have hints, tips, and suggestions to help you catch more fish. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, we're going to have something for everyone with guests, call-ins, giveaways, and whatever else I can think of as I head into the studio. Remember, folks, that's Wednesdays at 3 p.m. brought to you by Basin Tackle, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
Looking for a new or used firearm? You should get to know the friendly folks at World Pawn Exchange. Located at 1980 Sherman in downtown North Bend, World Pawn Exchange buys, sells, and trades firearms of all types. And with their extensive, ever-changing inventory, they could have just the right firearm for you. If they don't have that gun that you want in stock, they'll be more than happy to special order it for you. World Pawn Exchange in downtown North Bend, where you'll find more than you can possibly imagine.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. I'm going to turn this over to Rob and Max. You guys go at it, and I'm
all
just
right.
Going to
sit
here and listen.
I'm going to introduce you here, and Max has got a completely, he's one of those who, and you were a self-described NIMBY. You don't want anyone to build a pool, even a private one, and I want you to please explain what your experience has been with the city and where your fight started with this pool.
In 2012, I was the one of the ones who was voting against a pool.
Right.
Because I knew that the tax district would be supporting the pool, so I voted against the tax, but ultimately I was voting against the pool. And I think there's a lot more people like you and me, even though the mayor says, oh no, only a few people around the park are against the pool. But I think there's 200,
right.
500. There were 2,700 people voted against that tax measure.
Right.
So even if you take one third of them, that's a pretty sizable portion of people who don't want any pool.
Right.
And I'm one of them. Now, here's why. I understand when you say right of commerce, a private pool. That's fine, except that Bandon doesn't have the water to support a pool.
That's been one of the larger problems is that Bandon has a water supply and they don't have a reservoir to back them up on that.
And Bandon is located on top of a powder keg. It's
right.
Called Gorse. We've had two fires that burned up the entire city. If a fire gets started in the Gorse again, every drop of water will go toward that, and that may not even be enough. So a pool where people are taking showers, theoretically, before and after swimming, plus evaporation from the pool, plus dumping off excess, things like this, the pool will represent a huge water consumer in the city of Bandon. That's number one. Number two, I managed a pool in the 70s, and I learned from very bitter experience that no pool will ever be self-supporting.
Right.
Maybe in the beginning, when there's a lot of enthusiasm, and people are throwing money at it, everything
right.
will be fine. 1 year later, 2 years later, when the grind of day-to-day administration sets in,
right.
and it's no longer fun, that's it.
And that happens a lot. We're seeing that in North Bend and in Coos Bay. The enthusiasm dwindles.
It's happening all over the country.
Right.
I think the days of municipal pools and things like that are over.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And one of the and like you said, there is no way that any business would be able to ever come in and be self-sufficient in the area. We just don't have the population for it. And that's why, you know, I was upset when they denied the Dunes operation from building that hotel. They denied it because it was three stories, and they only wanted to be two stories. And, of course, I said they should do it five stories, put that pool on the fourth story, and give me the penthouse on top. And that's the way they should run that. But that's the only way you would be able to run a pool is if you did it something like a resort. And you know, if the city, if they were smart, they would have gone to the Dunes and asked him if they would do something like that. Because the hotel that was there before, the Gorman Hotel, the way I understood it, they allowed people from the city to go swimming in their pool, right?
You mean to citizens?
Yes, to citizens. Yeah.
I think so.
And that's something that I think the city should have gone to the Dunes and asked them, you know, why don't you do a community benefit and and on that top story of your new hotel you're putting in, put in a pool that maybe all of us could go to, at least, you know, everyone who lives in the city, since you want to be someone who benefits the local community, that would be the way to go. I don't know. I don't understand why they don't do things like that.
I have a question.
Sure.
This proposed pool, is this going to be an open pool or is it going to be an enclosed pool?
It's going to be an enclosed pool. Isn't that correct? It's an aquatic center, and they're going to have a baby pool, a wading pool in it. It's not Jim, the plans for this pool has changed many different times over the 30, 40 years that it's been under, envisioned. And the original pool, and you can go to Robin Miller, he's a lawyer in Bandon. The original pool was this huge pool set up that was going to be built down by the Coquille Point. And they had water slides and rides, and it was an incredible pool that they were going to be building.
And you can use
them
2 days a year because of our climate.
Yeah, you know. And so, you know, we went from these big designs to, well, it's just going to be a wading pond to right now, I guess it's just going to be a mud hole in the park. So, but some of the people were saying that there was letters going out written by anonymous. Now, you're not anonymous, are you?
No, I'm Max.
Yeah, that's what I kept telling people. Max is not someone who hides behind, you know, anonymity.
Anonymity.
Boy, I tried to say that 3 times. And so he doesn't hide behind that. So I knew it wasn't you, but you were being accused of that. Some people were, because I posted it on my website, and we had these letters where people were saying a ton of cement was going to be put in the park, and some guy was coming in and trying to say to me that there's no way it's going to be a ton of cement, that it's only going to be a certain amount. And I explained to him, those technicalities mean nothing to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't care if it's a ton of cement. I don't care if it's a half a ton. I don't care if it's a square foot.
You know what? A ton of cement isn't a heck of a lot of cement.
No. And it really isn't. And so, you know, after I looked at the plans, I was thinking maybe it is a ton of cement that's going to be put in our parks. But
more
why don't
that.
You explain to what they plan to do if they get this pull through?
The city has plotted out 3 spots in the park where they're recommending it be placed. Now, this is all without a vote,
right?
For starters. And in any case, it will remove a large part of the greenery in the park. It will impact virtually everything that is in the park now, operating in the park now.
Right.
Like people walking their dogs and things like that. And there will have to be a lot of cement involved.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of cement.
Well, you're going to have a parking lot for this.
And oh, yeah.
Then you're going to have the building, the pool itself.
Sidewalks.
Sidewalks. Access. All of that is going to take a lot of room out of a beautiful park right now. Yes. A park right now that you can go and play ball in. A park where you can go and take your dog running. You can go skateboarding, all of that. And here's the thing is they got a skateboard park. And this is my son is a skateboarder. And it used to, you know, it used to make me mad that they'd go down there and they'd build this little park. And then the little punks would go down there and tear up the little ramps that they bought them. And then they would spray paint them and tag them and all that stuff. And the city would go down and repair it. You know me, I would get rid of it. I mean, you tear up something I give you, I ain't going to give it back to you.
Right.
So it was absolutely ridiculous. And this is my whole point with the swimming pool. If they can't maintain and take care of a simple or a couple of ramps on a skate park, then how are they going to keep and maintain a swimming pool is my question.
They aren't going to be able to.
They're not going to be able to. So,
go ahead.
So what do you think the plans are? The city, what is their initial goal if they don't get the vote that they want? See, because right now, if we vote yes for it, we're not going to get a pool. But if people don't understand the question and they vote no, what do you think the city's going to do once they don't have to get voter approval?
If I read the situation correctly, the city's going to plunge ahead regardless of how the vote turns out because they're already doing it.
Right.
Behind closed doors. They sent out public employees paid by taxpayer dollars. They did feasibility studies with public facilities paid for by taxpayer dollars. None of this with a vote.
Right.
They're just plunging ahead with this, and they're pushing this idea of the pool in the park again without a vote.
Right. Well, and then actually we did have a vote. We just had a vote for a recreation district that failed. So in essence, we really did have a vote. And in most people's mind, we voted against that pool. So, you know, when you say we didn't have a vote, we didn't have a vote for them to do what they're doing now, but 6 years ago, we voted against it. So why they're not following through is ridiculous. And I think you're absolutely correct that if the citizens don't take back their authority and they don't vote yes for this, that the city is going to plunge through with putting that pool in the park. And like you said, they paid a feasibility study for that. Do you know how much they spent on that?
If they spent one dime, I don't care.
I agree.
They didn't authorize it.
I agree.
It's my money.
It's your money. That's right. And it doesn't matter even if they didn't spend money on the feasibility study, because they had the planning director who's very well paid. I think he makes over $100,000 a year.
Don't tell me that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure about that. Don't quote me on that. But I do know he makes a lot of money, and they brought him in recently to straighten out a lot of the problems they're having with development there, or the lack of their city councilors. And so it's amazing to me that with all the amount of money they spend for development fees, that they're wasting money to look at a pool that they may or may not even get the approval to do, which makes the question, like you said, makes us suspect that they'll probably do this whether we vote yes or no. And that's my worry on this, too.
I think they're doing it right now behind our backs.
I agree with you. And anyone who wants to call in, you can call in at 541-267-2124 and ask us any questions about this pool. Because I tell you, I would love to hear from Mary Shamhorn, who's the mayor of Bandon, or any of the city councilors. Call us up and explain to us why we're going through this again when many of us in Bandon voted against that pool in 2012. Max, do you have anything you want to put in before we go? That music is cutting us out. Make it quick.
Liabilities.
Liabilities. Yep, we're going to have big liabilities. Well, Jim, what do you think?
It sounds to me like another case of politicians ignoring the will of the people. And, you know, we faced that for years. It's probably not going to go away. But at some point, the people need to stand up and say, all right, that's enough of this crap. You're not paying attention. Get out. We'll replace you. We're at the top of the hour, of course. We're going to hear from some of our fine sponsors. And, of course, we're going to get some drivel and propaganda and lies from the lamestream media. So put on your brain filters, suffer through it, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
There he is. Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. Before I continue here, I'm going to take a caller, Lee from North Bend. This came in last hour, and we didn't have time to get him on. So, Lee, welcome to the Jim Bice Show.
Hey, thanks again, Jim. Love your show. Hey, real quick, I got a newsletter from Marty Roblin's office about a week ago, okay? And it was basically about education and what it costs and everything. And
right.
Enough. And so I returned the call. I said, you know, realistically, I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is that the schools are over-impacted by the National Endowment or National Education Association, you know, the union, that we move schools far afield from our communities and from our state. And I said, you know, and basically I sent that back to them, okay, and I got a response real quick, you know, the next day, and she went back on about money and stuff, and I sent back to her, I said, hey, here's the deal, okay, some of the most intelligent people I've ever met were educated in one- and two-room rooms with McGuffey readers.
Yes.
And I mean, some of the most intelligent, logical, unequivocally brilliant people I've ever met did this in two-room schoolrooms, you know, with McGuffey readers. End of story. And she never responded back to me. But
of course not.
Money's not the issue here. It's getting education back on its feet, making it what it's supposed to be, which is teaching students how to and can cognate and be logical about assessing problems, how to solve them. So anyway, that's all I got to say. Tell your readers, I know, or your listeners, you know, vote conservative. You know, I talked to Terry Greer the other day. She's wonderful. I really liked her. I didn't get a chance to go by Caddy's office because I wanted to ask them about what they felt about due process, because this is a major concern for me. You know, if they don't believe in due process, they ought to be forced to resign their office.
I agree.
They've taken an oath of office, and that's violating their oath. Anyway, that's all I got to say, Jim. Hey, have a wonderful show.
Okay.
Cameron, bud. Appreciate you.
Well,
love you.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And I want to introduce my guest for this hour. It's Coos County Sheriff Craig Zanny. He is, of course, a candidate for sheriff, oddly enough. And I got to give my disclaimers here. Sheriff Zanny and I have been friends for many years.
At times.
Well, you know, here's the thing.
Isn't that funny how politics works that way?
Like, here's the thing that people don't understand. Craig and I have been personal friends for a long time. And that has never impacted my position of being a watchdog for the people over government. And Craig and I have on occasion disagreed on things, and that's fine. But he and I both understand that that's just business. It's the way it is. And once he's reelected, there'll probably be some other things we disagree on. That's just kind of the normal thing. Let's be realistic, folks. I'm the only one that's perfect, and anybody less than me is going to make mistakes. And I know every single one of you listening out there believes the same thing about yourself. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. So.
And you're right, Jim. Yeah. I do think I'm right, and I am.
Well, yeah. But the bottom line is, friendship's one thing, but business is business, and that's just the way it's got to be. So, and before I let Craig start talking, I want to kind of do a little setup here. A couple weeks ago, we had his opponent on the show, and I want to say I was kind of impressed with the guy. I think he's an honest guy. He's a nice guy, very nice guy. But I want to give him credit for his honesty. When I was asking him about the various operations of the sheriff's department, he didn't know. And that's because he's been a jailer. He's never been a cop. So, but he doesn't know. And he readily admitted that. So I'm going to give him an A for honesty. But here's the other thing that occurred to me, folks. He's been on the sheriff's department for a little over 14 years. In that 14-year period, he has never once attempted to broaden his knowledge, to move up within the organization. He's been content being a jailer, going to work, doing his thing, and going home. And he never learned the operation of the sheriff's department. Now he wants to be sheriff.
You know, everything else he said, you know, I understood what he was talking about. I understood why he wanted to do what he wanted to do. But like you said, Jim, every time you asked him about if he tried doing this in the sheriff's office or if he learned that policy in the sheriff's office, he said no, he hadn't done it, he hadn't tried to do it, and like you said, he's been there for 14 years. See, that kind of disturbs me, even though I like the guy. I think he's a very nice guy, and he's the perfect size for a sheriff. I mean,
he's,
you know,
a big guy.
Yeah, he came into the room and it was like a total eclipse of the sun. I mean, you know, so
well, that reminds me of my mother-in-law. She asked me when I first ran for sheriff, she says, "Are you tall enough to be sheriff?"
I didn't realize there was a size
requirement. Well, that was the first I'd thought about it.
Now, one of the things that I have come across in my research that I think the people do need to know about, and I want you to stay completely out of this, Craig. Mr. Kennard, the deputy that's running against Sheriff Zanny, got busted back in 2013 by the Reedsport police. And I'm not going to, I've got the entire police report from Reedsport, but I'm going to summarize it a bit. Apparently he was following a woman that I believe was his daughter who was speeding, and Reedsport cop pulled her over. And he went on past the traffic stop and turned around and came back. And while the officer was addressing the speeding ticket, Deputy Kennard came up and started interfering with the officer trying to give his daughter a speeding ticket. Six times the officer told him to stand back, do not become involved in this, it's none of your business. And six times Kennard ignored the officer's warning. So He was ultimately arrested for interfering with a cop in a performance of his duty.
Wow, you could have got shot in Albuquerque for doing that. That's...
Hell, you could have gotten shot anywhere for
no
that.
No kidding.
But here we have a guy that wants to be sheriff who actually interfered with a police officer who was doing his job. And personally, I don't think that's the kind of person I want to be my sheriff. I want somebody that respects the law all the time, even if it happens to be a family member. You know, there's way too much of this nepotism in politics around the all over anyway. And I think we need to get rid of that. So anyway, that's my comments on Deputy Kennard. Like I said, he's a nice guy. He's pathetically unknowledgeable about the position of sheriff. And I think everybody needs to know that. But now I want to get to Sheriff Zanny, who is sitting here right across the desk from me. Craig, welcome to the Jim Bunch
Show.
Well,
thank you. wasn't quite prepared for that kind of an opening, but what can I say?
Well, yeah, that was a little odd.
Hey, you know what? Part of the success of this show is keeping people unprepared.
Well, and the other part is that, you know, when you referenced that you did some research, most people, I think that that means you just kind of wait and hear around. I've known you long enough to know when you say, I'm going to research something, and stand by, because...
Yeah.
There's lots of information coming out.
A full background check, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. And when he pulls out the rubber gloves, just look out. Okay.
That's going too far.
My problem with research is I have a tendency to overdo it, and I end up with volumes of information that I can't use. I generally go way too far with it, but I would rather know than not know. We do have a caller. We've got John from Coos Bay. John, welcome to the Jim Bye Show. Do you have a question for Sheriff Zanny?
Well, it's not really a question for Sheriff Zanny. I served in the military with Mike Kennard.
Okay.
Okay. This might sound a little illogical, but I'm going to vote for him. I don't have anything against Sheriff Zanny at all. But, you know, Mike is one of the most honest guys I've ever met. He's a heck of a nice guy. He's been an impeccable soldier. You know, I've served underneath him. Served right alongside him. You know, that incident that happened in Reedsport with his daughter?
Right.
Okay, how can I do this? Mike messed up. I mean, he did.
He is. He's a very nice guy. But that doesn't mean he's qualified to be sheriff.
Well, I know. It's like I said. Did I say this? I was going to be illogical.
Okay.
Okay. The actions that he took, you know, when he ultimately got arrested and all that, is, you know, he was protecting his daughter. He's got a reason to, you know, want to be very protective of his daughter. I
understand that, but here's my concern. This is a guy that wants to be the top law enforcement officer in the county. And he was put in a situation where he allowed his personal feelings to interfere with a law officer in the performance of his duty. And anybody that wants to be head law enforcement officer should understand that that is not appropriate behavior.
We are human.
Yes, we are. And we all make mistakes.
One thing I know about Mike is Mike learns.
Well, apparently he hasn't learned much. He's had 14 years to learn about the various aspects of the sheriff's department. They didn't bother to do that.
What I mean is that he learned. He knows he messed up.
Right.
And he regrets it. That was straight out of his mouth.
Right.
I mean, he says, no, that was not, good judgment, you know, and actually he's pretty lucky he kept his job because of it, and he realizes it. I think the man's heart's in the right place.
I can't disagree with you here. You know, here's the thing. He's a nice guy, but the bottom line, any way you look at it, I think he's honest, but he is not qualified to be sheriff. He knows absolutely nothing about emergency management. He knows virtually nothing about the operation of the sheriff's department, except for what he's observed from a distance. He's not right. been involved in any of the decision making. He hasn't been involved in budgeting. He hasn't been involved in the multitude of aspects it takes to run that department. And it just seems to me that if somebody was serious about running for a position, that he would try to learn everything he possibly could about that that position.
Oh, I totally agree with you 100%.
He hasn't done that. And, you know, maybe in the future, if he wants to be sheriff, maybe he should consider learning all of these things you need to know. And at that point, like I said, I think he's an honest guy, and I think he's a nice guy. I wouldn't have a bit of problem. But,
you know, and part of it is initiative. If my employees don't show initiative, I always pick the guy who's always going beyond, above and beyond, the one who goes out and takes a class or a course to learn what he's doing, the guy who stays after time to learn the machines or to learn the equipment. Those people who take initiative are going to take that initiative all the way through. And so when he was in here speaking, and I was here during the interview the whole time, and he was talking about all the things that he didn't do in the whole entire time that he was in the sheriff's office, that sent up a lot of red flags to me saying, well, why would you want to be sheriff if you didn't take the time to learn the job after all those years?
Yeah.
No, I totally understand where you're coming with that. I really do.
Okay. I think basically you're just trying to defend the fact that he's a nice guy. And you're going to get no argument out of it.
Probably more so. I mean, I wanted to go put out that, you know, don't browbeat him too much because of a mistake that he made in the past.
No, I'm not browbeating him.
Illogically, I'm going to vote for him. But I've never, ever had a problem with Sheriff Zanny's performance. I like to see a little more coverage, would be kind of nice, but
that comes down to money. That comes down to money. It's really that simple.
It does come down to money. Yep. It really does. I understand that. Before I let you go, I just wanted to sit there and say that I think seeing what's going on up in Portland, if I was wanting to run for a mayor, this would be a really good opportunity to have a basis for my candidacy, because that mayor up there has...
Oh, he's a whack job. He's a nutcase. Yeah.
He has dynamited his career.
Portland. See, the people in Portland are all a bunch of whack jobs like him, and they think that's wonderful.
And you know what the problem is Wheeler just doesn't know the job.
No.
Yeah.
He doesn't. And he doesn't understand that, that the business owners up there are, if they're not already suffering, they will.
Well, they are already suffering, and I'm going to have to bring this conversation to an end because I'm running way over time and I need to take a break, okay?
You bet. Sheriff Zanny, good luck.
I thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And with that, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to let Craig Zanny talk a little bit. How about that? So we'll be right back.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
The RV business is booming at the Boomin' Y, and Gibbs RV is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Gibbs RV makes it so simple. They will come to your location, give you a fair appraisal, and help take care of all the paperwork. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let the professionals at Gibbs RV take the hassle out of selling or consigning your RV. Stop by and see them today at 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay by the Big Boomin' Y in Empire, or check them out at GibbsRV.com.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. With winter in your rearview mirror and summer around the corner, it's time to consider upgrading to Goodyear tires. And now couldn't be a better time. With Goodyear soaring into summer savings event from April 1st to June 30th, you can get up to $160 back on four select Goodyear tires. So stop by Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101, Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. And I'm going to actually get into the interview with the sheriff now. Craig, I'm going to ask you the same questions I ask every other candidate for public office.
That's a shock.
Why do you want to be sheriff?
Well, I want to be sheriff because I want to continue with the good things we've done. And I want to touch on those right off the bat is, very quickly, because I could spend, as you know, hours when we talk about this. When I became sheriff, we had five patrol deputies. We had signs in the front office said we do not respond to these kind of calls. We had two civil deputies. We had a backlog of house foreclosures. We had problems with animal control. We were losing animal control officers because they were having to euthanize animals by the hundreds.
Right.
Those were all negative things. I knew that things could be addressed. I knew money was tight, but rather than just give up, find a different way to approach that. And we did. We now have 18 patrol deputies. We have happy employees. We have animal control. We don't euthanize hardly any animals. They already started a program about providing vouchers for spay and neutering for dogs. Now they don't go out until they're spayed or neutered. We're doing it with cats. In the next few years, we're going to see a reduction of the cats.
Can we do it with liberals?
Probably by voucher system. Somebody else has to pay for it. I don't know. The bottom line is we need to continue that. As you know, we had a couple of people, a young man who's coming up who may have been a good candidate for sheriff, but is retiring at the end of the month because of health reasons. And my staff asked me to stay. They came to me and asked me to stay, and that's very flattering. But part of it is, you know, I'm going, you're pretty good with my time. What are you willing to commit? They're willing to stay until we get all those things cemented in and we have the foundation built. It's like right now, as you know, we talked in the past about our radio system.
Right.
Our original bid to replace the consoles in the dispatch center was $750,000. We have purchased those already. We got them. We worked at it. $114,000.
Wow.
We're waiting to install those. We're in the process. We'll be going to bid, I believe it's on Friday, to completely retrofit the dispatch center so it's earthquake proof, basically. We're not going to install them till then. So right now we're moving people around. We got temporary offices because those are the things that we're doing. As I said, we're going to look at it. Eventually, we're going to get to the point where we won't have lots of cats coming in. Right. I don't know if you've been out to animal shelter. It used to be there'd be dozens of dogs out there. Now, if we have a dozen, we've got a lot.
Wow.
We're excited about that. Our backlog, we've moved up. We added a civil position. That young lady got married, so she left. So we're going to be having interviews this week to fill that. Our backlog of 200 foreclosures is down to 8. I mean, we're making all kinds of advancement. Our training level has come up. I'm excited because we've got, you know, this gentleman who called, he was talking about having more coverage.
Right.
We're getting that. And part of that is, regardless of what people want, we've talked about LNG before. I am utilizing their requirements for them to pay for additional resources for our citizens. And I want to continue a lot of that. I want to get we've integrated, as we've spoken in the past. Emergency management used to just kind of sit out there, and when we'd have a major event, they were involved. We've integrated that into our day-to-day operations. I mentioned before, we sat down with emergency management. We realized in a major event, like a Cascadia event, Coos County will be a series of islands because not by necessarily water, but the roads will be gone. The culverts will collapse. How do we handle that? And part of what we've done, we've utilized emergency management to make maps of where these islands will occur, where our deputies live at, how we can reestablish communications and emergency operations and government, in effect, by utilizing where those people will be in relationship, and we've started training on it. So we've done a lot of things. We want, we're working on, as you know, we used to have storage over here, and we had equipment at North Bend Annex,
right,
which the county is moving out of.
Right.
We're hoping that we've got all our stuff out of there. If the county sells that building, to finally finish the bottom back portion of the jail where the sheriff's office was to supposedly go when that portion was built, and they didn't do it to save money at the time, which costs a lot now, more now, but to get us out of the basement, because if we have a Cascadia event and all my staff's in the basement of the old courthouse when it hits, don't bother to call us.
Well, yeah.
It might go to voicemail if the phone system still works, but nobody's going to answer it. So, well, I want to move them over there. I want to get an actual emergency operation center on the third floor, which is unfinished in the back of the jail. I want to move the administrative staff from the jail and my staff, emergency management, into one facility. So all that flows.
Right.
I want to continue to upgrade our training. I want to continue to grow our patrol division and utilizing dollars that don't come from the taxpayers. As you can tell, I'm talking faster and quicker because I get excited. I'm still excited about it.
I know, and
we've got these really great young men and women coming up, and we want to get that foundation cemented in so we're on task and we're on point. And I'm excited because I just promoted a young man to sergeant who I first met. He worked for one of the local PDs. And when we finally got our, you know, there's Mike Kennard, who is running,
right,
one of the things he said, we had people leaving. We did. He says it was over because they were not happy. And I'm telling you, they weren't, because they were going to other places for $900 a month more.
Yes.
We got the pay fix by working with the Board of Commissioners, utilizing local businesses like the Dunes Golf Resort.
Right.
We have been able to bring that pay up. I was talking to Sheriff... give me a second, I'll think of his name. Marion County Sheriff. Anyway, we're talking, because I had to call him the other day. He was talking about they're still having problems. We have a waiting list now of people wanting to apply, wanting to test, and people to come to work for us.
That's awesome.
And it's awesome. And part of that is because not only do we have decent pay, which it's right, not the top of the line, but it's competitive. We got a great place to work, and we got a great community, and we have great community support. And that didn't happen overnight.
No, it didn't. It takes leadership.
So I'm still excited. I want to continue what we're doing. My competitor said he doesn't like the business model. I don't know what business model he's talking about, because the mandates of how the sheriff's office operates, pretty set out in statute,
the legislature has determined what the sheriff's department will do, and I've got... I'm not going to bother to go through any of that on the show because it doesn't lend itself well to radio, but I've got pages and pages and pages of legislative mandates for what every sheriff's department must do. So you really don't have a whole lot of flexibility on how you run the place other than the personnel management and trying to... continuously upgrade things.
Yeah, Jason Myers is the sheriff from Marion County, and I'm sorry, Jason, if I forgot your name for a minute, but you know, tons of things on my mind. I know Jason will forgive me. He's a great guy. But it is, you know, we have animal control, emergency management, we have the jail, we have civil, we have to tend the courts,
marine patrols,
search and rescue, which is a big part of what we do, and that we have integrated that along with emergency management. And eventually what I want to do is have search and rescue directly under the emergency management director,
right,
because that's where I think it really should be. And it wasn't. It's under the sheriff's office, kind of separated for years.
Where does the posse come into all of it?
Posse's under the sheriff's office also, but that's not a mandated service.
Right.
But we have tied that in to search and rescue because the posse with their horses can cover a lot of ground and see from a different perspective.
Yes.
Ground searchers can't. So those are important things that we've been working for and trying to work towards all this time. And I have to slow down because I get excited because there's so much to cover. The one thing that is not mandated is what this man talked about when he called is patrols.
Right.
We can eliminate that.
I know, and legally, the only thing you're required to maintain is the jail.
The jail, and to tend
and
the courts.
Services, yeah.
And most people don't understand that. In fact, at one budget hearing one time, I was asked, well, when we went down to 48 beds, was not because of management. It was because we lost people because of pay.
Right.
I had two people who went to, and I don't remember if it was Lynn or Benton County, for $900 more a month doing the same job. And they were at the top of our pay scale at the time, and that was their starting salary there. That's why they're going to go there.
Right.
Those are the kind of things that you have to deal with. So we've fixed that. The reason we went down to 48 beds, we were losing people faster and we could replace them and train them. That's right. Not happening anymore because we're competitive in the job market. Right. And when you got a long, young family, I know that I had a job when I left California and came to Oregon 40-some years ago. To the sheriff's office here, I was making twice of what I made when I came to the sheriff's office. But I did it because I wanted to be in law enforcement, for one thing. And I also knew the potential was there, and I lived in a great place, and I didn't like what was happening in California.
Right.
Well, if you have the choice to live in a good area and barely get by, or live in a good area and make more money, and you got a young family, you're going to go. That's why we lost those. That's why it took so long to get back to 100 beds. I could have lowered the standards and hired lots of people.
And you can't blame somebody for wanting to go to higher pay.
No. That's why it was competitive pay was so important.
Yeah, we need to take a break here. And then I've got a couple things I want to ask the sheriff after the break. So, and if you have any questions for the sheriff, this is your opportunity. 541-267-2124. We'll put you on the air with Sheriff Zanny, and we'll take our break and be right back.
Looking for a new or used firearm? You should get to know the friendly folks at World Pawn Exchange. Located at 1980 Sherman in downtown North Bend, World Pawn Exchange buys, sells, and trades firearms of all types. And with their extensive, ever-changing inventory, they could have just the right firearm for you. If they don't have that gun that you want in stock, they'll be more than happy to special order it for you. World Pawn Exchange in downtown North Bend, where you'll find more than you can possibly imagine.
In just a fast few minutes from right now, you can have life insurance for up to $500,000 without taking a medical exam and without leaving your home. We're Fast Life, and we're going to make this easy and fast. Odds are that you don't have enough insurance, or you're paying way too much for what you got, or you don't have any, and that's not good. Listen, nobody likes to think about life insurance, but we're grown-ups now, so call and protect your family. 1-800-254-9567, or go to fastlife.life. You've got insurance? That's great, but you may be able to get more coverage and pay less than what you're paying now. And with no medical exam, you can get it right over the phone, and that's fast. Faster than a speeding bullet? No, but fast. And we also said we make it easy. So call and get quotes, then submit an application over the phone, and that's it. And that's easy. Get approved, and coverage starts instantly. And that's fast. Faster than the speed of light? No, but fast. Call 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. Fastlife.life. It's revolutionary. It's Fast Life.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting ad price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Are your medical bills piling up due to cancer or another serious illness? You are not alone. Many people face this challenge. Here's how Coventry Direct can help. You can receive an immediate cash payment by selling your life insurance policy. If you have $100,000 or more of life insurance, you may be eligible to sell your policy, even a term policy. To find out if you qualify, call Coventry Direct today at 1-800-510-2800 to speak to one of our policy specialists. That's 1-800-510-2800. The cash you receive from selling your policy can be used to help pay medical bills or whatever you choose to give you financial security and peace of mind. Call Coventry Direct at 1-800-510-2800 or visit us at coventrydirect.com. Coventry Direct, giving you the cash you need when you need it most. Coventry Direct is a marketing company and will refer qualified policies to a licensed entity.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have in the studio with me Coos County Sheriff Craig Zanny. And something I wanted to bring up, Craig. Right now, there's a lot of emotion regarding the Jordan Cove Energy Project with the LNG facility and everything. And at least one commissioner candidate thinks it's a bad idea and doesn't want it. Now, we as a county have been getting benefits from Jordan Cove for actually quite a number of years, almost 10 years now.
That's true. You know, I had one person call me up, tell me, he says, well, you're a sellout. You sold out to him. I said, no, I didn't sell out to anybody. And it says, and I quite frankly took a little offense to it. But the bottom line is I'm very much aware that their requirements are if they create a need that has to be taken care of for the citizens, they're responsible for covering the cost.
Right.
That's part of how we've utilized growing our patrol division by utilizing funds that we have requested for them to pay for calls of service and stuff that have been created by them. They've actually paid for, I believe it's, I have two, and I think we're looking at a third full vehicle equipped for emergency management.
Right.
And
that was just recently. Yeah.
Just recently. And so I'm utilizing that because it's there. And, you know, I'll just say it again. People said, are you for or against it? And I tell them, as sheriff, my job is be prepared if it comes.
Right.
We have to be prepared because we know there'll be some protesting. We know there'll be some people be unhappy. We'll need to deal with that. And if we have to deal with it, there's a cost to the taxpayers that shouldn't be borne by the taxpayers, should be borne by them. And they have been good neighbors and paying for legitimate items that we have needed or we tell them that we need. Sometimes they ask for clarification, but if they once we show them the rationale, they've paid the cost.
Yeah,
so but now it's there.
Yeah, and under federal law, for them to locate here, they may do nothing that will negatively impact the community, and any negative impacts they have that could be mitigated with money, they have to pay up. So.
Exactly, and we've utilized that. Like I said, is on a you know I before you asked me why I was running, we've upgraded our fleet. We're looking at the potential is we'll have two of the old Crown Vics left,
right,
which we're going to utilize in our reserve program, which I forgot to mention. And Lieutenant Goodwin, forgive me, is when I came back as sheriff, our reserve program was in very poor shape. We're having the same problems we had with patrol and in the jail and finding candidates, people want to be involved. We have, I believe it's 11 people in the ROTA class in the training, the legal training at SWOC right now. Just from the sheriff's office, because we've gotten people who are enthusiastic about it, who are want to find out if they want to be in law enforcement, and we've got them in our reserve program, which gives us extra people to respond
right
out in the neighborhoods, gives us better coverage. Are we where we should be? No. Are we better off than we have been? Yes. And we're growing, and we're going to get to where we need to be.
Now, you mentioned a reserve, and earlier we talked about the sheriff's posse. Now, who are, let's say there's somebody listening out in the community that wants to get involved in law enforcement. How do they go about getting to be part of the reserve program or part of the posse?
It's very simple. They can go online, and they can get an application, or they can call the office. For the posse, there's still an application process we look at. I have a liaison officer who works with them on a regular basis. They call the office, say they're interested. We'll have him get back in touch with them. or they can fill out the application, put they want they're involved, want to be involved in the posse online. They can send that to us. Same with the reserves.
Now, do I have to have a horse to be in the posse?
No, they actually have some people that don't have horses.
Oh okay. I was just curious.
It would help, though, because otherwise you're going to be stable cleaner.
Oh, yeah. They'll give me the mule. I get it.
No, they give you the shovel.
The shovel, even worse. Yeah.
Well, that's something he can operate.
I can do that job. Hey.
You know, but it's recommended you have a horse because that's part of the reason they have a posse. And the reserves, it's the same thing. The reserves, when I came back, we had four reserves. We're around 20, 25 right now. I'd probably be about 50, but a lot of those are working at Sheriff's Office full-time now because we have a group of cadre who don't want to be full-time law enforcement. They want to volunteer. They want to serve the community. They come in on a regular basis. They put time in and hours in, and they donate to the community. And we have a lot of people who come in who are not sure they want to be in law enforcement, and it's a good way to find out. Come in, join the reserves, see what it's like, and decide whether you want to get in law enforcement. We have openings. We have part-time positions in the jail where we pay people to come in and help out.
Right.
They get trained. Once they get trained, they get paid minimum wage, but they learn if that's something they would like to do.
Yeah.
It does two things. One is, obviously, it helps our jail staff so they can take time off or go to schools, but it also gives a person an opportunity is this what I saw on TV? Is this what I heard about?
Right.
And they find out that, you know, it really is different.
Learn the reality, yeah. Now, I don't remember which sheriff it was, but one of the previous sheriffs, I think it was Mike Cook, but don't hold me to that. We had a conversation one time, and he mentioned that they had some older people, some retirees that would come in and take up some of the slack in some of the... answering the window there in the sheriff's office.
We've had volunteers and stuff that have come in and do that. And part of it is we have to be very careful now because, you know, as you know, it gets more complicated, more technical every day.
Right.
But there are things if people want to volunteer, if they have some expertise, come in and talk to us about it. Because, as you know, I'm not beyond utilizing anybody we can to help get things done. Yeah. It's one of those things where... the sheriff's office is committed to the principles of Sir Robert Peel. And for those who don't know what that is, he wrote the Tenets for Civilian Law Enforcement, 1829. We are there to provide a service to the community. And it's just like I will tell you, is we have the retired officer shoot come up.
Right.
Because to maintain your HB, House Bill 218, firearms card as a police officer, you have to qualify annually.
Right.
A lot of agencies, not so much in this area, but a lot of agencies from outside our area will not qualify their own retired officers.
That's silly.
Well, I think it is, and that's why we do it. Is
yeah, they've already got the experience and training.
What's
why
the
not
reason?
Utilize them?
Yeah, is it money?
Well, all I can tell you is from my brother's retired Shasta County, California. He was their range master for the district attorney's office. He was their chief investigator. When he retired the following year, he went out there and he said, well, we don't know if we can allow any range because we're not sure if you have the proper training. And I mean, he literally had to write an astrogram to the DA down there, his boss, to get them to come out and qualify. Because, you know, what are they teaching him that he didn't teach them since he was a range master?
Right.
But part of it is that anti-gun sentiment that exists out there.
Yeah.
And part of it is I'm going, these are guys who they retired honorably, had a stellar career, and why not have them out there? And if they're going to be armed, if something comes up, you know they're not going to just stand there. It's like trying to take away or diminish veteran service to the country.
Right.
We have these people out there. They have this talent. If they're going to come forward or they're willing to serve the community, why not try and do everything you can to provide that opportunity?
Yeah, why let that talent go to waste?
Oh, because, exactly.
You know, and you don't just see it in government. You see it in private business, too. You see a lot of people, they get older, they retire, maybe they don't want to retire completely, but they want to get away from the day-to-day grind.
Absolutely.
And you can't teach experience.
And no, you can't. Experience is something that's only acquired through time. And when you have these people that have these skills and the talents and the abilities, if they want to donate that to the community, I think that's a wonderful thing.
Well, you know, it is. And the bottom line is, the more reserves and people we have out there, or people who are trained in the community, the safer our community gets.
Exactly. And, you know, by and large, I think out of all the Oregon counties, we rate pretty well as far as individual safety in this county.
I think we do. And, you know, and I, the other part is, I know one of the things I absolutely do know is this. Unlike some areas of the county, our citizens appreciate law enforcement in this community, and I know the officers just absolutely love the people in the community. The other day, I was walking in the office, this lady comes down and goes, "Oh, this is perfect timing," and hands me two boxes of donuts. And we won't go there with the rest of that. But they brought them over to the police departments. They brought them to our office. We took some over to the jail staff. I mean, I didn't know they were doing. Nobody called NAS. They wanted to do that to show their appreciation. And that kind of stuff, I will tell you, actually happens on a pretty regular basis around here.
That's nice.
Yeah,
our officers, and it's not just the sheriff's office, the local officers and the police departments in the community, the same way. Chief Sanders, Chief Ricosi, Chief McCullough, Chief Kappelman, Chief Webb and Bannon.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Baker now and Powers. I was down the other day. I went down at a meeting. Chief Powers, the Chief Baker and Powers, the community down there just absolutely love him because he is doing just what we talked about. He is serving his community. And, you know, there's a couple people there at this community meeting that I attended because they were upset that he'd take some actions. And one of the county, a city councilman asked me, well, what should he have done in this? He said, did exactly what the law requires him to do. And it was about towing a car. And the question was, well, the people really couldn't afford for him to tow the car. I said, well, the city couldn't afford for him to leave it sitting there in the middle of the night in the traffic lane.
Right.
And have somebody run into it, even if they were intoxicated. He says, there's a huge liability to the city on
that. Right.
So he did what he's doing, and the people really appreciate it. So all of those chiefs are doing a great job. Their officers are doing a great job. I'm not going to leave out the dispatchers because they're the first point of contact.
Right.
And they are some absolutely wonderful men and women.
Now I want to interject an observation here. Having been around for a year or two.
Two at and, least.
And I try to, you know, I'm an observer of human nature. You talk about how the community loves law enforcement. I agree with you. I think in our area, by and large, the vast majority of people really appreciate our law enforcement officers. But here's a caveat on that. That comes from the top. That comes from leadership because, you know, I've lived through thick and thin, you know, some of the good leadership, some of the not so good leadership. And the way law enforcement is perceived in the community is directly related to how the law enforcement officers themselves are treated by their superiors and by the leadership. If you've got a police chief or a sheriff or a supervisor that looks at the public as an us and them situation, you're going to have crappy law enforcement. You're going to have the citizens upset with law enforcement, and rightfully so. But if you have leadership that indicates to the officers, both by word and deed, that, hey, we are here to serve, that we are part of the community, and that all of these community members are our boss, in essence, then you end up like a situation like we have now in Coos County and by and large in all the cities in Coos County, that law enforcement understands who brung them to the dance, and the citizens understand that law enforcement, you know, that cop standing there writing them a ticket for speeding might just live down the street from them, could be their neighbor. And that goes a long way. It's attitude.
Well, it absolutely is. It is. It is. It is a commitment to doing. You know, you guys were talking earlier, your earlier program about the Constitution.
Right.
And that's what we try and do. You know, we've talked about that at length, Jim, and I know Rob and I have talked. We've had some discussions about some other things around the Constitution, about different perspectives. But right. There's a difference. He and I, we've had some heated discussions, and you know Rob gets real quiet when he's angry right. or upset.
Oh, yeah.
But we were able to both walk away and say, well, I haven't thought about it that way. And nobody claimed victory. We both claimed being better at right. what we did.
Yeah. I just looked at the clock, folks. We got to take our last break because we're running out of time. And we're going to give something away. This is from Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. They're located at the foot of Newmark on Highway 101. Pretty much everybody knows where they're at. They're open 6 days a week from 11 in the morning to 9:30 at night. They're closed Mondays. And you can dine in, you can carry out, or they even deliver. And what they're offering my listeners is their house special dinner. It includes barbecued pork, sweet and sour pork, fried shrimp, a spring roll, pork fried rice, and pork chow mein. Enough food, literally, I'm not exaggerating, there is enough food in this meal for three people. I'm going to give this away to call in number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. Be calling number 3 and win a house special dinner at Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant, and we'll be right back.
Oregon, it's Rob from Basin Tackle. Don't forget to tune in to KWRO or KWRO.com every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for your premier Southern Oregon radio program, The Basin Tackle Outdoor Show, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there. Yeah, I left my heart in Oregon.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily, there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on? He said, I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry because your car is what we're all about. We do it all.
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. Craig, we've got about 3 minutes left in the show. I'm going to kind of let you say anything you want to on 1 minute. I'm sorry. You got 1 minute to tell people why to vote for you.
Got your time cut.
Well, if you think the sheriff's office has gotten better over the last few years and like to see us continue to do that, I guess that would be a reason to vote for me. If you think we need to stop what we're doing, change direction, go some other way, I guess you could vote for somebody else. But I think the young men and women that I work with, the great people I work with, I think they've shown you what we can accomplish with a very limited budget, with a little bit of insight and a whole lot of effort, that we can provide the type of law enforcement community that the citizens will like, which they're entitled to, which they pay for. And what I think is in keeping with all the traditions of America.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I thank you for coming on, Craig. That music means we're out of time for this week. I sincerely appreciate every one of you that listen to this show. In the next few weeks, I'm going to be discussing more on candidates and issues. And until then, I want you to go out there and you have a great week.